Ron Plott with us today. Made it in. He missed the offering. Well, that's okay. We've not. Okay, good. Sorry, I apologize. Have I ever apologized to you?
Say about good for this.
Yeah, right, okay. You can wait on that one for a while. Okay? I appreciate there's something about directions. I don't know. Some people, you know, north, south, east, and west, and the quickest way to get to Atlanta from here, it's not through Chattanooga. It's definitely, if you go to Chattanooga to get to Atlanta, it's just not the way to do it. And I can appreciate Clifton's, his intelligence with geographics, because he's got a motel room where you can see the runway that they're going to leave on. That's the way to do it. You don't want to miss a flight. Amen. You don't want to go to Chattanooga to go to Atlanta. Ron, how'd you get down here anyway? Did you come through Houston to get here from Knoxville? You'll get another time, brother, and you can put it on me. You can put it on me now if you want to. I don't care. I can take it. All right, let's, Lord, help us as we bring for just a few minutes the Word of God. May it apply. May it work in our hearts and lives, change us forever. May souls be saved in Jesus' name. Amen. You can turn your Bibles to begin with to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to look around for a little bit, move around a little bit. We got a nice card from our new missionaries to Africa and the Bake family and Noah and his dear wife and their son, son, right? It was a son, right? All right. We, nice note here. We'll put it out where you can read it on the table back there. All right. We're in Philippians. Let me turn there. And we're in the book of Philippians, chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2, we're going to read verse number 13. This is a verse that really stays on my mind a lot, that I want to be very careful to realize God working in my life. For it is God which worketh in you. I ask you a question. Do you realize when God's working in you? If you're saved, God's working in you. And if you're lost, He's working in you. For it is God which worketh in you both two things, to will. He's wanting to affect our will, and we have not a free will, but we have a will. A free will means you can do whatever you want to. Well, the will that we know is true about biblical will is that you can choose to believe Jesus Christ and go to heaven, or you can choose not to believe and go to hell. You're limited within your will in that sense of the word. You have a choice to make. And when you get saved, you have a choice to make to fight against the will of God or to comply with the will of God, both to will. He works in you both to will and what? To put legs on what you're willing to do, both to will and to do. What is it? Both to will and to do of His what? Good pleasure. You see, God wants to be happy with His children. And He's writing to the Philippian church. And He said, God is working in you to work on your will and then work on your actions for what you're willing to do. And it's going to bring good pleasure to Him. And if He's happy, I will be happy. And if He's not happy, I'm not going to be. I'm going to be struggling. I'm going to be pushing against what God's trying to get me to do. You see, Christianity is not stale. Christianity is not stagnant. Christianity, I'm not saying saved. You can be saved and not be a Christian. But if you're a Christian is to be like Jesus, doing the will of the Father. And if you're like, you're going to be a Christian, you're not going to be stale or dormant. You're going to be moving. There's going to be a force of doing, which is expending energy in a spiritual way to do what God wants you to do. And when you do that, He's going to be happy. And it's, if He's happy with me, Roger Butler's going to be happy. Praise the Lord. Now, we've been talking about determining the will of God. We're so depraved, we have to have help from God to work in us, to make us willing, and to make us active in doing. We have to have God prompting us. And it's through the Holy Spirit of God. And one of the most dangerous doctrines in the world, in the Bible, is false doctrines about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We get saved by the Spirit quickening us and raising our spirits to the level of making a choice. And without God's first move, there will be no second move by man to choose God. He makes the first move. We're so depraved that God has to interrupt our lives and shine His light on us. And the Spirit of God convicts us and quickens us to give us enough spiritual life because our spirit's dead. He raises our spirit in order that we might make a decision towards God. And unless He does that, we'll spend our lives hell-bound, and one day we'll be in hell without God interrupting our lives by quickening of the Spirit of God. And to make a choice after we've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. We do not have it in us to make a good choice. We're to pray. There's none that searcheth after God. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. So you see that verse. Don't forget that verse. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now, working in us in 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. And what I was saying a moment ago, one of the most abused doctrines in the Word of God is the ministry of the Holy Ghost of God in our lives. Most misrepresented, most falsely said that an emotional frenzical experience is the Holy Ghost of God working in you. Or maybe the gift of tongues. A foul person experience in such a sense and such a word of out of character of the norm of what a human being ought to behave. Nothing wrong with shouting, nothing wrong with giving praise to God. But the Holy Ghost has been misrepresented. You see, He's our comforter. He's our convictor, first of all. He's the one that shows us our sin through the Word of God. Then He's our comforter. He helps us. He comforts us. He's our counselor. He guides us unto all truth. He's our commissioner. He calls us. The Holy Ghost is what calls you to salvation. It's a He. It's not an it. There's as much a person. The Holy Ghost is as much a person as God the Father and Jesus Christ is. He's not an influence. He's a person. That if we could see Him, according to Dr. C.L. Roach, one day we'll see the Trinity, all three. That's Him. I'm working on that, and I believe He's not smarter than I am. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm looking forward to seeing God. And misrepresents it. He helps us make decisions. He guides us into all truth. When He, the Spirit of Christ, is, the Spirit of the Holy Ghost will come, He'll guide you unto all truth. And if there's ever been a day when we need to know what truth is, it's today. And I got some other scripture and another part. I got notes down there that I had to leave, but I'm going to tell you something, friends. I want you to understand, unless you're a mature Christian, I can prove it from the Bible, unless you're eating meat, if you're still on the milk, you cannot determine good from evil. That's why you see some people say, what's wrong with that? Yeah. Take it out in the book of Enoch. I'm going to tell you, we're first time. We're looking at verse number 20. I'm going to isolate two verses in John. It's talking about how did we get not saved? The Holy Ghost confirms it on the fact. God be misled by an enemy. It will know the difference in the Christ and the Antichrist. You can read that on your own. But we're isolating, lifting up in here in the two verses. And in verse, the word of the Lord, God says to believe us, to a believer, He says, but you have an enemy, the Holy One. That don't really get saved. It's talking the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm of being exposed with the Holy Ghost of God working in your life. To know the will of God and to know what God wants and to know what's spiritually right and to be able to discern good and evil. And to know the will of God. And for several weeks, we've been talking about in Ephesians where it says, understanding what the will of the Lord is. I believe a lot of believers, they walk through their lives, they don't give a flying leap about knowing anything about the will of God. They're so wrapped up in possessions and entertainment and this and that, and they have no concern about knowing the will of God for their lives. It's time for believers to say, I want to understand the will of God. I don't want to live my life in vain. I want to know what God wants me to do, and I want to do it. I want to will it, and I want to do it. He said, you have an unction. That's a very, very important word. We'll come back to it. Verse 27. These are basically identical words. But they're different. So verse 20 says, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in Him. So we got the word unction, we got the word anointing. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's the unction of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, they symbolically showed the work of the Holy Spirit. On the priest, they took the oil. And they put oil on the ear of the anticipated consecration of the priest coming along. They put oil on the ear so they could hear. It's a holy hearing from God. They put oil on the right, I believe it's the right thumb, maybe in the left one. They put oil on that thumb and figuring and showing that not only you hear, but you work and you do with God. You listen to God, you listen for His will, then you work with God, and then they put it on their big toe, the oil on the big toe, and that's sort of humorous to me. And hold out your big toe, please. We're going to put some oil on your toe. And that was not only to hear the Spirit of God, and not only to work with the Spirit of God, but to walk with the Spirit of God. And to make progress in your Christian life. And there again, I reconfirm that I believe the average so-called saved person could care with his actions the least about hearing God, the least about working with God, the least about walking with God. They'll say, yeah, I've heard people say, yeah, I'm saved, I'm not living right. I'm going to tell you, I'm saved, I'm not in church. That don't make a bit of sense whatsoever. That tells me you're on dangerous ground. And if somebody can just show up at church on Sunday and then the rest of the week just do what they want to do, they're not right with God. They're living a very selfish life. They're passing up the opportunity to see God, good pleasure, made manifest in their lives. I'm not there, but I want to be. I want to be. The will of God. By the way, I said something a minute ago about how there's false doctrine being preached, especially about the Holy Ghost, and especially about how you get saved. If you mess up on those, I'm going to go out on a limb here, Dr. Fott, but I'm going to tell you what, if you miss it on the doctrine of the Holy Ghost of God, you may be missing it on the doctrine of soteriology, of salvation. If you're missing it on the ministry of the Holy Ghost, you may be missing the whole thing about being saved. It's very careful that you expose yourself to truth. I used to listen to a lot of stuff on the radio, preachers. When I was at Temple, we called some of these people tapeworms, the old cassette tapes, and they would have them playing continuously, listening to their favorite preacher. But what were they doing after they heard the Word of God? Turning it to another one. Turning it for another. And never applying the truth that they've heard. That's why in Hebrews, Paul said, you are dull of hearing. And the idea is they've just heard and heard and heard and never become a channel, but they become a reservoir and they're dull of hearing. Oh, I've heard that. Or, he's my favorite preacher. He's my favorite preacher. You know, Paul said, that's a bunch of junk. He said, listen, I want to tell you that I'm glad I didn't baptize some of you. Crispus, Gaius, and he said, maybe a couple more. Super preachers. As far as I'm concerned, Ron's a super preacher. You're not, are you in the famous papers of the fundamental works? Is your picture there? It should be. I'm going to send it in, recommend you. Be careful who you're listening to. Anybody ever heard of the Fleckner Report? Around 1903. Check it out. You know what the AMA is, American Medical Association. The American Medical Association was formed, I can't remember the exact date, but there was something called the Fleckner Report. And the Fleckner, there's a man named Fleckner, and he was commissioned to go all over the United States of America, and even if it came worldwide, to check out the medical facilities, especially the schools that doctors went to see if they were legitimate. He found out some things that was very detriment concerning health and life and death. He found out that some of the people that had the doctor's thing up there on the wall, they didn't even graduate from high school. You got any doctors like that? So he found out also they were limited on their treatment. They could give you an aspirin, and I'm exaggerating a little bit. They could do a little bit of administering drugs. They could put in an IV. But they had one problem that was shown amongst all of these, and he shut a lot of medical facilities down. And the idea is there's a shortage now. And the reason for that shortage, they're saying, is because all those were shut down. Instead of trying to work with them to teach them, they just shut them down. I mean, I wouldn't let them doctor anymore until they learned one end of a hypodermic needle from another. But they found out that they could do limited help, but they had one problem. They had a problem with hygiene. The patients were leaving infected and were in worse shape before they came to the doc. They were killing people. You know what? I applied that and thought about that, to how important it is that Roger Butler does not put out infectiousness in doctrine or in lifestyle. That I maintain a holy life. I should. I need to. Got to maintain a holy life myself. As to where I touch you or shake hands spiritually, that I would not pass along some kind of contagious virus to you that will hurt you spiritually. That's how important the doctrine of the Holy Ghost of God is. And everything else. Wow. Now, there's something else I just want to share with you. Matter of fact, I'll tell you how crazy people are in this world is. Vladimir Putin and Xi Jong-un, whatever his name is, over there running China, they were walking across the tarmac and they were talking. And Vladimir Putin, and I'm hearing this in the liberal news all the time, that we're going to extend life. We've got the greatest life expectancy of any time on earth right now. Physical life. And Putin said to the president, the leader of China, he said, we're living longer than ever and we're going to be living longer than ever. And he said, also, we're going to reach the point that we're never going to die. He's crazy. You're going to die. You're going to die. I just thought I'd throw that in. For a minute. Now, let me tell you something. I got copious notes on napkins. Some of you are sweating it out. I'm going to give you a little relief. And if you, ladies, if you're cold, just bar you. If you're cold, bar your husband's shirt. He's got a t-shirt on. If you get too cold, raise your hand. Don't do that. Let me finish this message. I'm going to give you a word that I don't even halfway know what it means. You'll say, there you go, preacher. We got you. That's the way you are. And I may not even heard the word exactly right, but if I heard it right, they call it quantum physics. Can somebody stand up and just deliberate on that, about quantum physics for a minute? Anybody ever heard about that? There's a medical scientist, woman, doctor, just happened to be a lady, a well-meaning lady. And she's come across some documented evidence that she's wrote a book on. And she lost her license for writing that book about something they call telepathy, or however you say it. Now listen, please, just listen to me. I'm just giving you, I'm not saying this is true, I'm just giving you illustrations. She's had testimonies. Has anybody ever heard, I want to know if anybody's connected with this, anybody heard any of this. She's got testimonies of kids, of young kids, teenagers, and taught little guys that have had the same experience, but they don't live in the same geographical area, clean across the country. And they have the same testimonies, the same words, the same experiences. And a lot of them have something that may be autistic in them. Just happen to be, some of them are. And they talk about going onto the hill. They all talk about, they go in the bedroom, they put a pillow over their head, and they have this journey, and they all say, we went to the hill, and angels t- taught us and told us things. You say, yeah, that's a bunch of junk. I wrote the book and they got the testimonies. I don't know. And start back. Well, I got her started with this. She had a patient come in to the emergency room. There was a woman come into the emergency room. And that doctor, not her, but one of the doctors, she was there. One of the doctors said, you're about to have a heart attack. They said, you're just, any moment you're going to have a heart attack. That reminds me of C.L. Roach. When he had some pains and got weak, he went to the doctor. They laid him on the table and they said, don't move a muscle. Don't move. And they had to do surgery on him and he lived. But the doctors, you know, seem to know what they're talking about sometimes. They tell me, don't move. I'm not going to move. She said, I'm okay. I ain't going to have no heart attack. I'm good. I said, you're going to have a heart attack. No, I'm good. Everything's okay. She said, by the way, your husband that's applying for that job in California or wherever, he's going to get that job. And he was there applying for that job while they were talking. And she said, in 2 years, you're going to have a baby. I don't know if she had the baby or not, but her husband, she didn't have a heart attack. She got up and walked out of there. I don't know. I can't figure that one out. Something was, she didn't dream all that up. Something was speaking to her. You say it's the devil. It may be. I don't know. I can't go no further with that story other than to say God, through His Holy Ghost, prompts you and teaches you and guides you to help you make decisions in life. Quantum physics, y'all check that out. Some of y'all know more about it than I do. I tried to look up the word and I looked it up. I got this old dictionary down. It didn't help me none. In Romans chapter 7, Romans 7. And in verse number 20, let me look at it. Verse number 23, I believe. Here it is. Verse 21. I find then a law. Let's talk about the law. You know, people in this community used to say, the law's coming. I'm going to call the law to you. There's the law. Run. That's the police and the sheriff. Okay. It ain't the law book. It ain't the law running you down, it's people. For I find then a law that when I would do good, evil's present with me. Anybody know about that? That when I would do good, when I'm wanting to do good, evil's still hanging around. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I delight after the law of God in the inward man. My inward man wants to obey the law of God. I want to, for I delight in the law of God at the end of the end. But I see, here's another law. The law of God, but I see another law. A law is something written down that's the fact. That will, the good law is something bad law. I see another law in my members, that's your body hands. Your eye, your mind, it's your physical, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. There's the law of God. There's the other law of evil. Then there's the law of my mind. Oh, and the Bible says it's warring. Going, but sir, I see another law of my mind, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to what? Here's another law, the law of sin. Which is in my members. Sin. Your body.
see the good thing of Dennis in us. Every family are given his body does. We have a form. It's the law of God. It's the law of sin. And it warreth in our family, the law of our time. All the you're not careful, it'll manifest itself physically and outwardly, showingly. And it don't have to be get drunk. It don't have to be taken dope. It don't have to be committing adultery. It don't have to be stealing, cheating, or lying. It can just be not concerned about the will of God to you. Not doing the will of God. Not being concerned about the will of God. Which, now, that's the verse which we have in verse 24, which men die, who shall shrink from the body of this man, thank God for Jesus Christ, our Lord. So with a mind, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He said, in my mind, I'm serving God, but my body ain't caught. I know anybody can relate to that. Am I the only me and Gene, the only one that's living? That's true. See, I got my body in the control. You're called the parent that seems fly. Fly. Speak to us. No one can speak to us. He'll never speak to us to do anything that's contrary out of this. Can't line it up in this book, and you're saying you want to do something, you're doing something, you're going to make this decision, and you can't line it up with this book. You're this Holy Ghost ain't nowhere right. Some other ghost.
First John 2:20, that you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. It's having to do with knowing the will of God, not knowing how to develop the thought of the theory of quantum physics. It's knowing spiritual things. I know this fellow at school didn't think he needed to study there in Bible school, and on the day of the test, he'd just pray that God give him the right answer. He'd write it down, fail every time. Yeah, you can't do that, friends. Give that a try. You have an unction. In verse 27, but the anointing, the unction and the anointing, that simply means to rub it on. That means to take the big salve and try to kill yourself in the night. Well, your mama giving you some. I was dying down here at the old Crane place. I was in my room dying. I was under about 14 quilts. I couldn't move. And I was dying. I heard my grandma telling my daddy and mama what to do to help me. They're mixing up kerosene and big salve and hog lard or whatever, and they're going to rub it all over me. And I got on them covers, and they couldn't lift them. And my grandma said, just let him die. Rub it. The anointing, it's the Holy Ghost. It's a rubbing effect. It sinks in. It's God in you, both to will and do of His good pleasure. God, it's God that's trying to work into you. It gets you to be happy. You're not going to be ever happy until you're doing the will of God. He ain't either. Then the anointing, it's the same word, the unction. Better be careful with some of that stuff. Because I believe Hitler. Not in a spiritual way. And there was a Holocaust. And they're celebrating something. We're talking a lot about that. They celebrate something. about the Holocaust right now that I can think of. Oh, it's an unguent. I never know what an unguent is, but an unguent, U-N-G-E-N-T. But that's an endowment. In a medical term, in the medical world, it means a donor. But Jewish God, yeah, working together. In the religious world, word developed a little more than just consecration to help you understand, help me understand. It has to do with a religious fervor. F-E-R-V-O-R, fervor, fervor, our religious emotional intensity. Stay with me. When I was called to preach, I had a religious emotional intensity that was in my being that I could not flee from. I tried it for a year. It lived with me. As a 15-year-old boy, day and night, before I thought I was going to die. Holy Ghost. Calling. It's an intensity, fervor of feeling or expression. You know, that's God that's working in you. It's not the devil. The devil ain't trying to get you to do right. He's trying to get you to do wrong. And the idea is developed with this word unction to be an impulse, a sudden incitement to action, an insight, a spontaneous inclination as to act on impulse. It's a motive of propension or tendency. Listen. That is not instinctive and not governed by reason. If you try to govern your decision for God by reason, you'll come out on top every time and you'll leave God behind. Not reason. It's not reason. That's not reason. To serve God in a spontaneous move, an impulse from God, you're wasting your time to try to reason it out. Say, that's what God wants me to do, and I'm going to do it. Now listen. Let's listen. It's about done. It's a leaning or a moving, not governed by reason when God, through the Holy Ghost, speaks to you. In Acts chapter 18, Paul was in a synagogue, I think it was a synagogue, and the Bible says he was pressed to preach the gospel. He was pressed. He was pressed. Same kind of idea. It means to compress. It means to do this. It means, like, I know my son Seth had problems sometimes with hearing loud noises when you'd get around a train. You'd do like that. He would compress and press because it was too loud for him. And I want you to understand, when God speaks to you, my friends, you can cover your ears, but you'll still hear it. It means to arrest as a prisoner, to preoccupy, to constrain, to hold. Paul was pressed. Romans 8:4, it said we're led by the Spirit. 8:14, it means to lead, to bring, to drive, to bring forth in the and it means to induce, another medical term, which is to induce labor in a lady having a child. It means something that's done outside of her that's not the normal to cause that baby to be born quicker and on time and without without hopefully out any troubles to induce labor, but in the work of God, in the spiritual sense, it means a Holy Ghost prompting of the miraculous. So you're looking at me like I'm a lost my mind, I'm a charismatic. No, by no sense of the word. Jesus was led by the Spirit. Matthew 4:1, Mark 1:12, the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. Hey, just easing up a little bit. If I knew everything, which I don't know hardly nothing, but if I knew I was going to be spending 40 days and 40 nights with nothing to eat and drink out there with the wild animals in the desert, somebody'd have to drive me, but not Jesus. But the Bible says he was led, and then the Bible says he was driven. The Spirit led him and drove him. That's the man part. He knew what was ahead. If Jesus, and I know he's God and all that, I know that, but if you think he was led and driven, and you can't be, and you're not going to be, friends, you're going to stand before God for that. By not listening to the Spirit of God, it's a dangerous thing. Closing, a spiritual impulse. It's a movement of God on the human mind that requires voluntary decision. It's a movement of God on the mind of man, the believer, to make a voluntary decision. And God is not going to make you, but he's going to give you the opportunity. And if you miss that, not a good idea. I'm just going to give you a couple of brief examples here of just being prompted by the Holy Ghost to do what God wants you to do. Take it or leave it. I met a person named Leslie, and I try to write down, Dr. Lee Robertson said, I look for something that's going to inspire Lee Robertson, and I want that everything. Lifetime experiences and illustrations are the best you can get, not something out of a book, but life with people. And this woman named Leslie told me a story, and I've tried and tried. I just wrote down Leslie's testimony. I didn't write down no little thoughts, and I don't even remember what it was. But she obeyed God. And if it comes to me, I'll tell it to you. But I know two more that I know. I know three more quickly. One, two, three. I had four. Now listen very carefully. How important it is. Are you following me, anybody? To give in to the prompting and the impulse to follow through with God prompting you. Years ago, I know I preached overtime. I get triple time on overtime. Now, you be sure, David, y'all keep up my time. I can trust you, Kathy, but them guys back there, they're going to cut me. My car wouldn't work. When we lived in Leesburg, my car, and it was Wednesday. It's about 20 miles to Gadsden. So it's 16 miles on the Leesburg sign there, and then you got to get on over to Grace Baptist Church. It's 20 miles, and it was cold weather. And bragging on Roger, no, I'm not. I'm bragging on God, and I'm giving thanks to a woman that was led by God. So I'm getting my suit. I got on my suit. I got on my overcoat. I got on a little hat. I got my briefcase, my Bible in it, and a bologna sandwich. No, I didn't have bologna. But I'm walking down. I started early that day walking down Highway 411. And the providence of God knew that Michael Dean worked for Odin Piano Company, and him and his buddy were that close to work this sandwich. And I walked down, I didn't get done out, see the lips good and full left. That truck went by, I didn't take no attention, and turned back around through the floor inside me. Michael said, what are you doing? I said, I'm says, what? He says, look, we're giving this man a bus. Go to farm with us, we'll carry you past. Good to be doing what God makes you do, man. Say, I church that nobody, not no. We live by the mail. I left Kathy at home. She missed church that night. So I got the way to let everybody's gone. You've heard this story, you know. It's going to be in your memories from now. So I started walking. And if you know anything about that, I didn't go down Midland Boulevard. That's a long way. That's where all the brothers are. I'm a brother too. Me and Terry's brother. The same thing to live here. So I'm walking down through. I got my hat on. I got down. I walk down through there, doing a little walk. Hey, brother! Doc? Scared? Somebody said, you're sneaky. Who went sneaky? I'm scared sneakily. I make it all the way down to where Lanes Boulevard, where it comes into that Tuscaloosa Avenue, comes out like this, and the town is about to walk up 411 through North and walk. Door open. She said, Roger, brother, get in this car. Where'd you come from? She's crying. Now she got me to cry. Get it. Only Sylvia. The Sanders. That guy's gone wild. Look me home. I rehearsed that with her all about. She's doing it. I've tried my best. Sylvie, who called you? Good part. Oh, I hope you not. I was still with a fellow just played pro football. Different thing. I played college football, real successful. They were flying to a game in America. His grandmother called and said, John, don't get on for him. So listen, friend. Playing trash here, but it is simple one on me. Besides that, Silk. That's on Silk, Kevin. He lives. Right? That's a big thing. So I'm looking for Ron. Gene, there's been many times I've given up. Then I feel guilty because I didn't know what my brother was, didn't know he did. Or what? Speaking phone calls, somebody finally said, wrong thing. God help him. He knows it's okay for me to give the testimony. He said, you know, he went to prison. And they couldn't get him, but they got his girlfriend and found it. They turned it on. And that's how it comes to life. It's a good thing he's in prison because he'd have been. Well, I get my home. Then I get back. Lord, I don't even have a bird. Heard from me in a long time. I have a telephone number and I built for one of his older, old bosses, Rick Mason guy. I called that number. It wasn't that wrong. I hadn't seen him. He said, Malone. He said, the last thing I knew, he was sitting in the house He's in a house and he sent in from that old sweat for him. He said it's on the life and on that. Got it. I went up and down 278 for at least 30 minutes knocking on doors, looking for a brain. I couldn't even find him. This bug not making go of him. Like, yeah. It's over with, Lord. That folks flood, oh flood started raining. And when I go back to Hope's Bluff, there's a brown house sitting on the right. Jeff Douglas lived there. When I went by there, there was something. Simple. I didn't know Jeff lived there. So Drew down there. Say whatever you want to say. You deny that. You can say I'm lying. Whatever you want to say, I know it. I pulled down there, pulled in where the whole house is. The gas station, and it's selling it. So what about that brand? That brand of house on the outside road, it ain't green. It's just like this. If you want to see your brother, go to the brand. You don't believe that, do you? I went to the brand house. I knocked on the door. Jeff's daughter come to the door, didn't recognize her first. I said, I'm looking for Ronald Butler. He's behind the door. I said, here. I don't know. I don't know if I ever saw my brother again. I don't like to think dead. He's lived in a house now. He spent 2 years on Black Street, lived in a tent. Him and his girlfriend Karen, I'm down there one time to visit him. Him and Levi went and took him a watermelon. We gave watermelons out all over Yates. I had Robert's truck full of Jubilees that month. I carried to the nursing home down there. There was some folks running the nursing home. And got to say, what are you doing them watermelons? I'm giving them away. They run out the door and got one guy was dancing. Cheers. Carried him down to Black Creek. It was two champs. I said, one. I thought, what's going on? He said, we split up. The fish hurt you about that far. You better listen to God, friends. You better listen to God. Let's stand. What does God want you to do? God's speaking to you. Is he talking to you? Are you feeling uncomfortable when your lifestyle is trying to get you to get right with God? Is he showing you in your mind the flames of hell? He's trying to get you to realize if you don't get saved, you're going to hell. Obey God. Is he just prompting you to search for his will for your life, understanding what the will of the Lord is? It's God that worketh in you, both to will and to do if it's fashion. Seek God. Seek him today. Father, have your way. Only thank you for the time these people have been so patient to listen. I pray you'll bless them. I pray not one of us will leave them this building not listening to your guidance, not walking the right path. Let it be, I pray in Jesus' name. This altar's open. You come and pray. Come and seek God. Right now. Come on right now.